Good morning, Way Fellowship Church. So good to see you all. If you're new with us, I'm Pastor Scott. I'm one of the elders here, and we are going through the book of Romans together. So if you would all turn to Romans chapter 2 this morning, we're going to be looking at verses 27 through 31 of chapter 3. Okay, chapter 3, verses 27 through 31. And if you don't have a Bible, there's one right in front of you. It's on page 999. I'm sure you can find that in the New Testament. But Romans chapter 3, beginning with verse 27. And as you may have already caught the theme of this morning's service, we're dealing with the issue, the problem of boasting. So we're going to be discussing this idea of boasting. And, you know, I couldn't help but think about all the years that I've walked on this earth, right, and all the different types of boasting, you know, that I've engaged in myself, right? You know, there was a time I boasted in being the lead singer of a rock and roll band, boasted in being able to slam dunk the basketball. Yeah, boasting right now, pride, right? You know, boasting in having really good test scores, having thick hair. There's all these different things that I've boasted in and you guys have boasted in, but at the end of the day, years later, you know, the question is, where did all that boasting get us? Where did it leave us? This morning, Paul reminds us about the futility. Let me just say that again. Paul reminds us about the futility of boasting in our own works and not boasting in the Lord's work. And so that's the frame this morning, that it's very easy for you and I to boast in our own works, much harder to boast in the work of Christ. And so why is that? We're going to talk about that this morning. If you would, I'm going to read the passage this morning together. Verse 27 through 31, Paul says, "Where then is boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By one of works? No, on the contrary, by a law of faith. For we conclude that a person is justified by faith apart from the works of the law. Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then nullify the law through faith? Absolutely not. On the contrary, we uphold the law." Will you pray with me this morning one more time? Heavenly Father, we just ask that you would speak clearly to us through your word. Lord, that your word, accompanied by the powerful work of your Holy Spirit, would increase our faith in your work for us. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, our first point this morning is that sin condemns the guilty and enslaves all those who boast in their unrighteous works. That sin condemns the guilty and enslaves all who boast in their unrighteous works. Paul says, where is boasting? Where is it, folks? According to Paul, it's excluded. It's shut out is another way of translating that. We have this tendency within ourselves to boast in all sorts of things in order to somehow make us feel more righteous. The issue is righteousness, a comparison game between us and other people in the area, the domain of what is right. Righteousness is a fancy Christian word, but it just simply means what is right. And the problem is that our righteous efforts, our righteous works, are never enough. The Bible teaches this over and over again, that our righteous works are never enough. That our righteousness, how we perceive ourselves to be righteous, is completely different than how the Lord perceives us to be righteous. We've listened to Paul talk about our unrighteousness for the last three chapters. He's extensively dealt with this question. There's one verse that I haven't brought out in the last 2 months of our study in Romans, but I want to bring it out today. Isaiah 64:6 says, "All of us have become like something unclean, and all our righteous acts are like a menstrual garment. All of us wither like a leaf, and our iniquities carry us away like the wind." The Lord is very vivid, right? Very vivid in his description of how we perceive our righteousness to be. Don't shoot the messenger. That's his statement, not mine, right? That we think we're really good, but at the end of the day, that's the metaphor that he sees as it concerns our righteousness. I remember bringing up this verse like 7 years ago, and one lady had a big issue about this verse. It's not my word. Another lady had an issue with one of our pastors describing our sins as no better than, you know, what's at the bottom of our boot. But we try to justify. That's the magic word that Paul's going to get at in the next verse. We try to justify our sinfulness, our motives. We try to make ourselves appear more righteous than we really are. But in the Lord's eyes, we're not. Boasting in our righteousness. All right, let me use air quotes. Ready for the air quotes? Boasting in our righteousness, right? Which is really, truly unrighteousness, is just foolishness. Why? Because whatever we're boasting in can't save. Because whatever we're boasting in doesn't last. It doesn't matter how well you sell. If that's your job, it doesn't matter how well you sell. It doesn't matter how well you teach, how well you lead others, how well you govern, repair things, how well you communicate compared to the next guy, how well you listen, how well you plan, how well you organize, invest, drive, play, study, stitch, garden, read, pay attention, give, serve, how well you know things, how much you love, how great of a parent you are. It really doesn't matter. Because, listen, the truth, none of it will last. There's going to come a day where all of that stuff that you boast in won't matter. It will all deteriorate over time as you deteriorate over time. Yeah? Boasting in our unrighteousness is nothing more than a false hope. It's a mist. Yesterday, all right, let me take you through my day yesterday. I woke up early and I mowed the lawn. And that thing looks great right now. Right? Those of you who come over for community group, you're going to see a difference than last week, right? I've just been letting it go. It looks good. But guess what? Is that going to last? It's not going to last, and neither is my glory for that thing. We went to a basketball game right after that. Mia's basketball game. And I walked in there a little proud. Thinking, man, we've really killed it in our practices this week. We've been working these drills, and they're just showing so much improvement. And I look at over the other team, and I'm like, yeah, it's going to be a little bit of a toss-up, but I think we got them. I think we got them. By the end of the first half, we were being blown out. All of my boasting in my coaching, yeah, not necessarily the skills of the team, but my coaching went out the door. And then, you know, I'm watching there. I'm sitting in my armchair after that for 2 hours watching the Phoenix Suns. And I'm just thinking, man, these guys should be killing the Clippers. What's going on there? And I'm looking at some of these players who are the greatest players. They will be Hall of Famers, and they're getting old. And they're getting slower. And, you know, Christy and I are having the conversation. What's going on? I'm like, well, he's been playing for 44 minutes, and he's approaching retirement. You know? And so all of that glory, you know, three or four of them will make the Hall of Fame, but you know what? They will not be able to play at that level forever. All of that boasting will evaporate over time. Boasting in our works, folks, eventually leads to an enslavement for approval. As we boast more and more in our works, in our intelligence, in our wisdom, in our abilities, in our skill sets, in our talents, as we boast more and more in that, guess what happens? You're becoming more and more enslaved to your pursuit of approval from other people. As you boast more and more in your works, you are becoming more enslaved to a false identity that you're creating for yourself. That I am this type of person, that this is who I am, all based on what I do, how other people view me. And boasting in your works will also lead eventually to an enslavement to depression when it doesn't go your way, when it doesn't last, to doubt, to frustration, to anger, to resentment, to bitterness, to fear. Because what you were trusting in, your very self, all of those works are not enough. They don't last. They are unable to sustain you. Ecclesiastes 1:2 speaks to this truth. Absolute futility, says the teacher. Absolute futility. Everything is what? Futile. In other translations, vanity. The vanity to believe that you're all that and that whatever you are doing is going to last. Why is it futile? Because none of our works can clear us from the guilt that ultimately resides and remains within. None of our works, folks, if you don't hear anything else today, hear this. None of our works can make God love you. It's really sad, but none of your works can make other people love you. Maybe for a little bit, but not forever. Because you eventually let them down. Eventually your works will let yourself down. Christian, hear me clearly. Those of you who have put your faith in the Lord Jesus, listen carefully. None of your religious works can clear you of your guilt. None of your religious works, Christian, can make the Lord love you more than he already does. When we put our faith in works, it leaves us empty. It leaves us stranded. It leaves us hollow, afraid, and then eventually angry and bitter. But what does Paul say? In contrast, is it excluded, he says? Is boasting excluded? No. Excluded from a law, the law, but here, by works, no. On the contrary, the second part of verse 27, on the contrary, by a law of faith. Paul is saying that it's futile to trust in your own works. However, trusting in the Lord's work, well, that's something different. And that leads us to our second point this morning. Faith clears the guilty and frees all who boast in the righteous work of Christ. In great contrast, faith clears the guilty, if you don't like that word, acquits the guilty, and frees them to boast not in their own works, not in their own unrighteous works, but in the righteous works of Jesus Christ. And this is where we get to the glorious good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In verse 28, he says, "For we have concluded," we conclude, "that a person is justified, that a person is made right, declared right, acquitted, cleared of guilt." How? By faith. Not by their own works, but faith apart from their works, faith most particularly in the work of Christ instead. Friend, we cannot clear away the guilt on our own. We can never be free from the enslavement of that work ethic until we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, who has done that work of righteousness for us. This happens on the cross. We're about the cross because it's on the cross that the Lord Jesus took our place for sin, for wrath, for condemnation, for punishment, for atonement, for us. He took upon himself the consequence of sin that we deserve. He bears the shame that we carry around in that enslavement to works. The Lord Jesus on the cross takes away, removes, clears the guilt of sin. The gavel comes down and the judge declares, "You're free to go. Someone else has paid the price for you. You are a free man. You are a free woman. You are a free child. You can leave." No prison time, no condemnation, freedom. And we see the freedom in the power of the resurrection. So Jesus takes upon himself our sin and our guilt on the cross, but he gives us something on the other end. 3 days later, the Lord Jesus rises from the dead through the power of the Holy Spirit, and it's that same power that brought Jesus back to life that does what for you and I? Empowers us, frees us to now live that righteous life for the very first time. That over here, we're trying to live righteous lives, but our whole self is contaminated by sin. All of our motives to do right are sinful. Through the cross, through the resurrection, the Lord gives us new life to be able to do those good works that we couldn't do before. Listen, let me, in the domain of boasting, let me ask you guys this question. Have any of you died and then gotten back up 3 days later? Have any of you been bludgeoned, crucified, stabbed in the heart, laid in a grave for 3 days and then popped back up to say, "Hey, can any of you boast in that?" No. But we can boast in the one who has. And because he has, guess what? We can too. That's the message of the gospel. But if we're trying to do it all on our own, guess what? It's not going to get you out of the grave like that. It's not going to empower you to live a righteous life. You're just stuck in a pattern, in a cycle called sin. But look what Paul says next, threading the needle just a little bit on this second truth. He goes on in verse 29 and he asks another question. He asks, "Or is God the God of Jews only? Is he not the God of Gentiles too? Yes, of Gentiles too. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith." All right, what is he saying here? The issue is faith, right? Justification, righteousness comes through faith, not in our works, but in his work. But what is the main point to be gleaned from this point? It's in that second truth that I've already given you, and it's in that word "all." If you were taking notes, just underline the word "all" in that second truth. That this righteousness that Christ provides, folks, is for who? All who would believe. That this gift of righteousness, something that you can't do, you can't work for, but it's a gift that is given through Christ Jesus through faith, is available to all. It's not exclusive. Back in the day, it was. You had Jews and you had Gentiles. And there was a dividing wall between the two. Paul's saying that dividing wall has been broken, demolished. And that this grace, this righteousness, is available to all. Doesn't matter who you are, where you come from. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how bad of things you've done. That the same grace is available to all who would simply believe. All who would simply put their faith in the Lord Jesus. So listen, maybe you're sitting here and you're thinking, like, I don't really have any pride because I know I'm an utter mess. I'm a hot mess. I'm a failure. I have so much baggage in my closet. You don't have to convince me. Well, the good news is you're halfway there. You admit that this hasn't been working for you. All you need to do now is turn to the Lord Jesus and trust. Trust that his work on the cross and in the resurrection is enough. This morning, you can stop beating yourself up for not being able to live that righteous life, and you can turn to Jesus, who was beat up for you, and trust that his righteous work is enough. Will you trust that? But to the Christian, how should we view this truth? Those of you who have put your faith in the Lord Jesus, been walking with the Lord Jesus for a while, truth number two, how are you to look at that? This righteous work is available to all. I think first, it might need to stir us up a bit that if this gospel is available for all, am I, as in a recipient of that grace, am I offering it to anyone else? Have I just taken it? Have I just claimed it? Have I just received it and appropriated it? And not thought about the grace that is still available to all? Have I allowed doubt and fear, shame, context to prevent me from sharing this same gospel message to all? There are people in my life I just don't like enough to share the gospel with. Well, brother or sister, looking down at your sin, remember the Lord didn't like you a whole lot either. There wasn't anything good about you that made him decide to save you, but instead it was just his grace, his mercy. And so I think the first thing that we could think about in regard to the second truth as Christians is that we ought to be sharing the good news of Christ's righteous work that cleanses all from unrighteous works. And two, we must remember as believers, as Christians, that everything that we have been given is because everything that we are because of what he's given to us. That we're sitting in this room enjoying the fruit of his salvation for us. But so often we forget it was his salvation. So often we forget it's his continued salvation. So stay with me here a second. The Lord Jesus cleans away the guilt. The Lord Jesus frees us to trust in his righteous work on the cross, in the resurrection, but also frees us to trust in his righteous works, plural. Right now, ongoingly, in your life, in my life, as we walk around this earth, it's real easy sometimes to think, oh, I still need to do righteous works as a Christian. I need to. It's still easy for the Christian to fall into the trap of doing and doing, in order to somehow earn more of his love. But folks, everything that we do now is on the back end of the love that he displayed for us so richly way back when on the cross and in the resurrection. And so grace that saves us from our past sin is still the grace that saves us and sustains us in our current sin. Sanctification, not just justification, but sanctification is what I'm getting at. The Lord continues to sanctify us as we trust in our works, but his. 1 Corinthians 4:7, for who makes you so superior? Who's he speaking to? Church of Corinth, a bunch of Christians. And he's asking these Christians, who makes you so superior? Why? Because they're gloating. Can Christians still gloat? Can Christians still boast in their own efforts, their own works? Say yes. He's calling them out here for who makes you so superior, you smug Christian. You know it all Christian. You self-righteous Christian. Who makes you so superior? Folks, some of us are still boasting in our works. What do you have that you haven't received? Think about what you've been boasting in. Do you see your work on this earth as a gift from the Lord, or do you see it as your Captain Awesome? You are Mr. It. That you are just somehow more knowledgeable, more wise, a harder worker than the rest of the people around you. But Paul is putting the church of Corinth in place. I hope he's putting us in place this morning. What do you have that you didn't receive? Nothing is the answer. But the Lord in his incredible grace has given each of us and all of us tremendous blessings. That we are who we are because of the Lord's incredible blessing. I was born in Phoenix, Arizona. Why? Because the Lord wanted me to be. I was born in a Christian home. Why? Because the Lord wanted me to be. And in the Lord's sovereignty, he has orchestrated all of our steps up until this point and will continue to do so, that we might boast in his work and his works, not ours. That nothing we have, nothing that we do is something that we have given ourselves, but the Lord has given us instead. As righteous as you are, folks, it's only because of his grace. Let me just put it this way. I'm afraid. As righteous, talking to Christians right now, as righteous as you think you are right now, guess what? You're only that righteous because of his work. Not because of your works. Because of his grace in your life, walking with you faithfully, watching out after you, orchestrating your steps, bringing this person into your life to speak truth. That moment when you did crack open his word and read his truth. And the Holy Spirit in his grace working within you, guess what? To make you more righteous. To make you more like him. Too many Christians trying to seek and find a righteousness apart from Jesus. It doesn't work that way. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, for you are saved how? By grace. How? By faith. And this is not, I'm sorry, and this is a gift, God's grace, not from works. Why? So that no one can boast. Our salvation, and again, he's talking to Christians here. He's not talking to non-Christians. You're saved. You, right now, present tense, are saved by grace through faith. And this is not from yourselves, it is God's gift, not from works. Why? So that you can't boast. Christian, hear it clearly this morning. Even your works are not good enough. It's only through Christ's work within you. Let's look at verse 10. Well, we memorize 8 and 9. No one wants to memorize verse 10. It's not cool enough. I don't know. But what does it say? We are his workmanship. He did it. We are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. His works, but notice the four good works. That you and I can only do these good works. Why? Because he did the work first. And he's prepared those works for us in advance. Friend, have you been trusting in your works this week to make you righteous, to clean yourself up, to earn some sort of approval? Or have you been trusting in the work, the righteous work of the Lord Jesus? Come back to that at the very end, but let me sneak a third point in here real quick. This is going to be a quick one, okay? Looking at the last verse, faith comes through the continued intake of God's word. So you ask Scott, well, how is that possible? You say, trust in God's work, faith in his work. What does that look like? Paul gives us a little inference here. Faith comes through the continued intake of God's word. How do you faith, Scott? By being in his word. Paul says here, it's another rhetorical device. Do we then nullify the law through faith? Absolutely not. On the contrary, we uphold the law. He mentions the word law twice in that verse. Back in this day, the word law could have two different meanings. It could refer to the first five books of the Bible, the Torah, or it also took on a more encompassing understanding of the entire Old Testament. Which one's Paul talking about? Take your pick. I'm going to pick today the Old Testament, the expansive laws of God, everything, the character that we know about God in that day and age revealed to Paul through the Old Testament, revealed to these Christians in Rome through the Old Testament. We didn't have the New Testament yet. We do, though. And so here's the thing. We have the Old Testament, praise God, but we also have the New Testament. And all of it is God's spoken word to us. It is God's communicated truths to us, and we can open it and we can read it and we can hear from God. And this is how faith is increased. This is how you and I practically get away from trusting in our works, and we're reminded to trust in his work. Paul's going to later go on to say in Romans 10:17, so faith comes from what is heard, and what is heard comes through the message about Christ. If you've been trying to trust in your own works, if you've been trusting in your own works to make you righteous, folks, you gotta stop doing that because it's not gonna get you anywhere. And instead, turn to the work of Christ that makes you righteous. And you gotta remind yourself daily about that truth. How do you do that? By opening up his word and reading it. The words of life. The words of truth. Because what deceives is thinking, telling ourselves, I gotta try harder. I got to do more. When the truth is, Christ has done it all. And so we got to open up our word, or his word. We got to intake from it, eat it, imbibe on it daily to remind us about this gospel truth that he does the work, not us. We need to be involved in community groups. We emphasize those here at The Way. There's like five or six of them. Are you connected with other Christians who are coming alongside you and speaking God's truth to you as well? Are you involved in a group where we actually open the Bible together and we read God's word together, teach each other, explain, apply, encourage one another in that? If you have not made if you haven't been intentional about that, there's a list of them on the back of the bulletin. I'm going to harp on this, Scribes and Scripture. It's a month away. I've been promoting it. This is a tremendous opportunity for you to learn more about the Bible. This is a tremendous opportunity for you to gain more confidence in God's word. If I don't have confidence in God's word, then I'm not going to read it. True? So this conference that we are trying to promote and that we're going to host in a month from now, it's in the back of your bulletin as well. Sign up for it. Come with us. Be encouraged in the confidence that you can have in God's word, and then read it, knowing that it will continue to build your faith. Our central truth this morning: boast not in your own works. Doesn't that sound King James versioneth? Boast not. Don't boast. Stop boasting. Boast not in your own works. It just leaves you empty. It leaves you exhausted. It leaves you depressed. Boast not in your own works, for it is the Lord's works. It's the Lord's work that makes you righteous. Amen, church? It's His work. What have you been boasting in? As you reflect back on your life this week, what have you been boasting in? This morning, will you make a conscious decision to stop boasting in that? Stop trusting in that? Stop puffing yourself up because of that, and instead turn to Christ and see the risen Lord, who alone is worthy of our boasting. Amen? No one else is worthy to be boasting except for Lord Jesus. Galatians 6:14, we're going to end with this. But as for me, I will never boast about anything except what? The cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. The world has been crucified to me through the cross, and I to the world. It's all rubbish. The glory, though, belongs to the Lord Jesus. Amen? Will you pray with me? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the reminder, the kind reminder, Lord, that all of our efforts to find approval are futile. Lord, that all of our efforts to earn your love are futile. Lord, all of our efforts to grasp any glory in this world is fleeting and futile, Lord. But there is an eternal glory that you have chosen in your mercy to give those who put their faith in the righteous work of the Son. This morning, Lord, help us to turn away from trusting in our works. Lord, open our minds and our eyes to see the foolishness of that. But Lord, in your mercy, open our eyes to see the glory of the risen Lord, who is worthy of all glory, honor, worth, praise, and boasting, Lord. To him be glory. Turn our hearts to see him and to trust him this morning. May Christ be exalted. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.